Welcome back, everybody, to another fantastic episode of the Every Pokemon Episode Ever podcast. Man, it's so easy to say that these days. I am one of your hosts, Professor Chris G, and on the other line with me today is the person that shares the same spirit of the winter season as I do, good old Dougie Fresh. Dougie, my man, how you doing?
You're full of shit.
I hate the winter. I hate it. But I know you share the same love. I know you do.
Oh, I love when it leaves.
Me too. But also joining us this week, as I stated at the end of last week's episode, he is the editor-in-chief of Pokemon Crossroads. He is making his infamous return to our podcast. It is Mikey. Mikey, welcome back to the show.
Hello, everybody. I just came out from warm Florida.
I bet you did. I am jealous.
Well, granted, it did dip to the 60s, so I was there for a bit, for a day or two.
Oh, boo.
What did you do?
I know. So horrible. I put on a hoodie.
Man, what I wouldn't do for some 60-degree weather. Well, I mean, it hasn't been too bad out here. For the last 2 days, it's been in the 40s. So, I mean, I can't complain too much. But last week was a sumbitch. Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yeah. I left my city in the 40s or 35. It was like 35, 40s. I was wearing my Digger jacket. And then when I landed in Florida at midnight, it was like nice 70s. Oh. Oh no, this jacket is, I'm going to die wearing this jacket right now.
That's a shock to the system for sure.
And then I came back and it was warm. It was 60s in my hometown. Like, oh, okay.
You brought the warm weather back with you.
I sure did.
So everybody, you clicked on this episode, you know what the deal is. We are going down the last 11 episodes of Ash's Journey, and today we are doing episode number 4, titled Tunbear's Sigh, or translated from Japanese, Bear Tick's Sigh. So... yeah, this is episode 1,227, everybody. Man, like, I still can't believe they have that many episodes, and Ash was a star of that many episodes, but he is. So, I mean, it's amazing.
It's going to come in and end in about, 7 episodes?
Yep. Yeah. No, 8 episodes. 8 episodes left. So, wait, 8? Yes. Wait, no, 7.
Yeah,
7.
He's
7,
right.
7,
he's 7, right. He's
7.
Right.
I'm thinking episode 3. Wow, brain fart. Yes.
That's how you have teachers to teach it.
So, yes, we have 7 episodes left after this episode. There's literally, as of this recording, no other episodes left. We are doing this in real time, as quick as we can. And boy, this was some episode. I think this episode was a little bit better than last week's, in my opinion. Just journey wise, what do you guys think? Before we actually get into it, we're not going to rate it yet.
I will hold my opinion towards the end.
I will say I have no real opinion since I have not seen the last episode, but it is interesting in its structure and what did or did not happen.
Yes. So, but all right. Let's not really jump straight into the episode. I'm going to ask you, Mikey, well, as much as you can actually say, you just came back from a Pokemon tournament. If you're allowed, are you allowed to talk about this tournament? By chance.
Excuse me, I was joking on Walter for a minute.
Oh,
first rule in Pokeclub, we don't talk about Pokeclub.
I can talk about it. Yes, I just came back from Orlando Regionals. So if you want to date this episode was recorded right at the beginning of February.
Okay.
So, yeah, I am a Pokemon professor within Pokemon Organized Play. I run a league on weekends, and every so often I will apply to regionals and staff those as a judge to make sure that basically I just make sure that people are having fun and following the rules. So okay. I was a judge there. For the trading card game for juniors, if somebody drew an extra card by accident or on purpose, we don't know why, but if they drew an extra card, we were there to help resolve the game state to make sure that it was back to perfect order, or in for more serious offenses, the best we can make it back to Division 8 before the mistake happened.
You're there to keep the fun happening and make sure that little kids are not cheating the adults.
Oh, little kids cheating each other, the teenagers cheating each other, or the adults cheating each other. I've been doing this more regularly this season, but I've been doing this at least about 4 or 5 years now at this point.
Okay.
So I've been doing the bigger regionals for at least 4 or 5 years now, and it's been fun. I've been to Columbus, Ohio for the North America International Championships. And just like Ash, I try and make my way to the World Tournament, not to play, but to judge. So we see how that go. I didn't plan to go to Japan, and it's in Japan this year the year that I finally decided to apply myself. They chose Japan, so we're going to see how that goes.
Well, good luck on getting in there, and I want to go to that so bad. I'm going to find a way to be there. I'm
just going to get a plane ticket and buy yourself a spectator pass. That's all you need to do.
I think I'm going to, but now I got to talk my wife into it because my wife doesn't want to go to Japan, but I really want to go to Japan, and she definitely doesn't want to go to Japan to go to a Pokemon tournament.
Actually, if you run that by her, could you like loop me in? I would love to. I don't need to be in the room, but if you could just call me and just put it on speaker and put the phone down,
Oh, sorry.
Go on.
No, there might be a lot of silence because I'll be getting a stare down from the wife.
Call it a work trip. You're going there for research for your podcast.
Absolutely.
He's not a good liar.
I am. I am too. a good liar.
No, you're not.
This is not a lie, though. This is the truth. You are getting the actual Pokemon experience there. Like, if you really want to get a good feel of I think you guys have been saying that you want a Pokemon convention. These tournaments are like mini conventions with the focus on playing. But if you just go their route with little experience on playing a card game or playing a video game, you still have a good time. Like they have little small things that you can do if you are a beginner player or you're just there to like watch. Or hey, just being in the audience, like you feel that energy just watching the battles live. It's amazing. It is pretty great. Like I remember on Sunday, they were doing the finals of the video game championships for the Orlando regionals. And there was a huge crowd just gathered around seeing Wolf Glick taking his win.
Okay.
Like they were on pins and knees just waiting for him. Like, is he going to actually go and get it? I mean, this guy been trying for like years to prove that he could win championships again and again. And he did it. Live in front of the biggest regional that we had so far this season.
So he's the Ash Ketchum of the tournament.
He's the Ash Ketchum of the tournament. I mean, he won the World Tournament a few times. He won a few regionals a few times. But, you know, the champions, they fall, they rise every time. So it's a great story to follow them. And if you watch the streams and stuff like that, that gives you a good idea. But seeing it live in person just makes a person feel excited, and like when they win, you could cheer with everybody else at the same time. It's pretty great.
I should have watched it. I get those pings every single time they go live for one of those conventions. Pokemon sends me a nice little ping on Twitch saying we're live right now, and I sometimes I'll click it, sometimes I won't, and I feel like I really missed out on this one. I did not click it to watch it this past weekend, and I should have. I really should have, but I think it's on their page where I can go back and watch it, so I think I might do that, just to see him win that big one.
Do it. It's really fun and really great. I mean, I usually watch it myself, more like the TCG, but video game is awesome. Video game gets huge numbers. I think video game the TCG gets more players, but the VGC gets so much numbers on YouTube and Twitch.
Okay. And Doug, how are you doing since we last recorded? I know it's only been a few days, but how are you?
I mean, you know, I'm here. That's about all you can ask for at this point.
Nothing new. Are you enjoying this nicer weather that we're getting just for a few days?
Yeah, the rain last night pretty much melted anything that was residually hanging out on the sidewalk. So I was actually able to get out for the first time in like a week. So that was good. And it was a little chilly, but at that point I didn't really care. I was just trying to get out and, you know, get some fresh air and stretch my legs a bit. So that was nice. And, let's see, I watched, because of the way we recorded, I watched this episode last night. So it wouldn't be necessarily fresh, but it wouldn't be like I'm recalling something from a week ago. So,
yeah, I mean, I feel like it was an easier watch than the Witch in the Forest episode with Brock. So I think this one was a little easier than last week.
Oh, yeah. I don't even think it's close. I think, you know, I mean, this was very easily just a put on and just, you know, a very singularly focused episode.
Yes.
Yes.
But why Beartick? I'm just... Okay.
Because it was cold.
I know. But
and he's a polar bear.
But of all Pokemon, a Beartick. In the last 11 episodes, a Beartick. I'm just...
This kind of goes to what I want to say at the end about it. I mean, I guess I could bring it up now, but that'd be spoiling the episode. So I'm gonna try to hold this to the end.
Okay.
But this episode felt weird. But it has something to do, I want to say the end.
Okay.
Sure.
All right. We'll save that for the end. Now that we got a little bit of our catch up out of the way, do you guys have the episodes up and are you guys ready to start going through it?
Yep.
All right. So now anytime that we have guests, I like to preface this right before we start going through, I'll go ahead and I'll start the episode at, after a scene or two. I'm gonna switch it over to you, Mikey, and then from you I'm gonna switch it over to Doug, and we'll go around in that circle until the end of the episode. Everybody good?
Sounds good.
All right, so we start this week's episode with Ash just having casual conversation with both Misty and Brock, and he's telling a funny story. I mean, something that we didn't get to see, but he's like, yeah. And then we saw this Gyarados, and then it suddenly attacked us. And then it was at that point I knew I was in for a rough time. and then of course they come up to a sign at this point, and there's pointing to the left is a Magikarp, which looks like it's going up a waterfall, and then pointing to the right looks like it's a village full of Apoms who like to play in the mud, is what it looks like. And I see a little bit of squiggly lines. Maybe they kind of smell, maybe they don't. I have no idea what the Apoms' journey was. But it's at this point, Ash is like, well, we'll go this way. And he goes off to the right so that they can go and view these Magikarp. And then we get the narrator talking about how Ash is going out on his journey. He's walking through the forest. He's so happy. Misty and Brock are right behind him, and they're talking about the Magikarp climbing waterfalls, and Brock is like, man, he's like, it's a rare spectacle to see Magikarp just climbing waterfalls. And Misty goes, yeah, I've always wanted to see one. And it's at this point Ash brings out Oshawott. So we find out Oshawott has not evolved. So there's your there's your answer, Doug. Oshawott never evolved, just like his Squirtle and just like some of his other Pokemon.
It could be a new Oshawott. It could be a Oshawott has from an egg.
I know.
This one's just as proud of its scale chap as he is as before.
Going back on the Apon, by the way, I don't think they are mud or they stink. I think the Apons are posing in a hot spring.
Oh. Okay. That, you know what? I think I'm starting to think, and now that I'm looking back on that, now that might be a hot spring. Yeah, maybe they dug up a bunch of hot springs. Huh.
I don't remember. I know there's a mountain with monkeys on it in Japan. Maybe it's supposed to be alluring that. Maybe there's a hot spring with monkeys on it somewhere in Japan.
If that's in real life, I do not want to go over there. Because monkeys tend to be very, very, very mean. I'll never forget watching an episode of Naked and Afraid, and there was these two people that were out there doing their little venture for the 30 or 60 days, and they encountered a wild monkey in the forest, and the monkey kept throwing things at them.
Okay.
So they had to relocate.
There is hot springs with monkeys in it. I just sent you guys a link here. Paradise of the Monkeys. Wild Sonoma Monkey Park since 1964. Welcome the Japanese monkey to the world. And like one of the pictures has a monkey in a hot spring.
Oh wow! Yeah, these monkeys look mean.
I'm good.
I really don't think I would be going over to these hot springs. Yeah, these monkeys do not look friendly in any of these photos.
They don't.
come on over to our hot springs. We have very nice monkeys that will intimidate the mess out of you. No!
And seeing how Pokemon decided to do the analog to be Apon is really funny, because Apon is so friendly and happy.
Yes!
So it's like, okay, I mean, you kind of use, I don't know, Passinian. I mean, last time we had a Passinian episode that got banned in the United States, so it'd be nice to have one that is not banned in the United States. Just saying.
What was that episode about?
Oh! So, in Alola, Ash meets some Passinians.
Okay.
And they play football, because Passinians is, you know, the football Pokemon, right?
Yes.
And somebody in Japan, clearly did not learn a lesson from the Jinx incident, decided that Ash is going to dress up as a Passinian and paint his face black.
Oh, no.
So we have...
No.
We have a 2021 or 22 equivalent to the Jinx episode.
Wow. That's not acceptable. We can't be doing that shit.
So, in our earlier conversation, this is one of those 7 episodes that got banned from America. And I remember at the time, people were saying, are we going to get this episode? Are we not? This episode comes out in a couple of weeks. Are we going to get episode title for it? We didn't. They got banned. We got to skip over.
Are you telling me in 2021 or 2022 they could not color the face? Like,
well,
at
not
all?
Even. They got it. I understand it was in a different country, but you got to know that the optics aren't going to look good all around the world, because this goes out globally. This isn't just, you know.
Maybe it's the whole dress up as a monkey thing that didn't make it better. I mean, yes, I guess you can make a version. Yes, in Train Train 2, maybe you could do the digital paints and get rid of the black coloring, but still the board dress as a monkey.
They made Jinx purple back in the 90s. They could have figured something out.
But at the same time, it's like, maybe Doug's right. Maybe just like, it probably is just best to let it go. And it was a filler episode. So not like it matter much anyways.
Gotta make up the numbers.
Oi, Pokemon, what are you doing to me?
That's, by the way, that's the last bad episode we had gotten, I think. So,
yeah, I don't think anything else was banned. Not to my knowledge.
I would probably really hope not at this point.
At this point, yeah. But then again, that happened 2021. No, I'm wrong. That's 2019. 2019, 2018. I forgot. 2021 was the We Don't Speak of That year, and that was Sword and Shield. This was some era.
Yes. We don't speak about that.
No. But yeah, this is train 19, and we got a bad episode because of blackface.
Okay. Oy.
Good job, Pokemon. We did. Yeah. We forgot what happened in early 2000s.
Jesus, Pokemon. So at this point in the episode, so Oshawott comes straight out of its Pokeball, and Misty, of course, can't help herself because she sees a water Pokemon. So she goes over and she's like, oh my gosh, Oshawott, he's so cute. And she's rubbing her cheek all up against Oshawott. Oshawott's like, get off of me.
Oh no, I think he loves it.
You think he loves it? I don't think he loved it too much. Maybe he did. Maybe he warmed up to Misty. And then we go straight from that and we fast forward again to the waterfall that they were looking for. And the waterfall is completely frozen. And Brock even makes the joke. He's like, yeah, we won't even be able to climb this thing. And Oshawott is just in awe. He's like, oh my goodness. He's like, this thing looks amazing. Ash is like, bad luck, huh, Oshawott? We don't get to go see those all those Magikarp. And Oshawott's like, you know what? This is even better. And he takes his shell off of his chest and turns it into like a little sword and just starts slashing on this hard ice. And it's not going anywhere. So I don't know how much training this Oshawott has had. But Pikachu is like, you know what? That looks fun too. And just goes and runs over and just starts using Iron Tail all over the ice. As Oshawott is slashing as well, and Ash is like, well, I guess they're having fun at least. And we go straight from that, and we go and look off into the corner, and there he is. There's Beartick, and he is looking on in the corner. And in this scene, so this is very, very deceiving, everybody that's watching, because they depicted Beartick as an evil Beartick. When I saw this, I was like, ooh. I was like, Beartick's about to mess some things up in this episode. And it's very deceiving. Beartick is not an evil Pokemon in this episode, but he does breathe. And as soon as he lets out a sigh, he freezes the little boulder that he's standing behind. And that's when we go straight into the title. The title theme song for this episode. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to go ahead because it's the same as all the other ones. I'm going to fast forward. And Mikey, do you want to start up right after the title sequence?
Yes, give me a minute. I do want to say, though, I find Misty's design interesting for this episode.
Yes.
Because she's wearing her Heart Gold Soul Silver jacket, and they tend to... and. Pokemon tends to not acknowledge that Misty to exist most of the time.
Yeah, I thought that was cool too, because we were looking at her outfit from last week, and she was back to her Kanto outfit during that episode. So the fact that she's switching up, and maybe she'll have a different outfit each week, because I do know back in her... the episode that I saw with Togepi, when Togepi and evolved into Togetic, she had a different outfit then too. I believe it was like a black and blue outfit, swimwear outfit that she had worn in that episode. But
no, it's just a weird yellow top and shorts thing. I know which one is it, but I can't describe it. It's something advanced generation looking outfit.
Yeah, I do remember it being different. I was like, oh, they switched Misty's outfit. But yeah, I do think that her outfit is a little weird. But the fact that she's wearing shorts in the winter kind of caught my eye there. I was like, why is she in shorts? Come on.
Hey, they compromised and they're like, well, you can have a jacket, you know.
Yeah, but I do know in Sun Moon, she wears her game outfit, the blue bikini, the blue bikini outfit.
Oh, okay.
Yes, she wears it. I'm thinking how they did it is that she wears it under the overalls and shirt.
Okay.
And then this jacket is a reference to her heart. Her, I keep saying Heart Ghost Osu, but it's closer to Heart Ghost Osu outfit because her Heart Ghost Osu Misty has the one piece swimsuit with the jacket she has on right now. So I'm glad out of 20 years we finally get that outfit kind of adapted into anime for Misty.
Hey, I mean, it doesn't look bad.
Now, if only we could get the Let's Go Misty outfit adapted. Just saying.
Yes.
Then we have Bingo.
I don't think we're ever getting that outfit, but maybe in a later generation when we get these two new kids that are going to be taking over the series. So
maybe. I mean, I know in Pokemon Masters she has that. Her character in Pokemon Masters has that outfit.
Oh,
and but they also did the red, the fire red, leaf green outfit as an alternative outfit that Venti nickname. So I don't know. This anime surprised me for once. They got me. I never thought I'd see that Heart Gold Soul Silver outfit. So thanks, Pokemon anime, for acknowledging that Misty exists.
Go and watch the other episodes whenever you get the chance. Whenever you get some downtime, go watch the first three episodes leading up to this, and I'm pretty sure you'll be surprised at some of the stuff they have in there too. I won't ruin it for you.
All right, so let me start. Okay, so we added a title screen. Pikachu does a little cute thing with a Pokeball, and now we are back to where we left off. Oshawott and Pikachu are using Razor Sword and Iron Tail to cut down the Rawlfall. No success, and then Oshawott lands and slips on the ice and uses the scale shot and flies into the forest. And the scale shot is caught by the Beartic. And then we go to pan over to Pikachu and Oshawott, who are looking for the scale shot. And Beartic is like far away, but it says, and Beartic is far away, is away from them. And then we see it throw the scale shot towards Pikachu. And Pikachu, there was that Oshawott who's crying. That Oshawott loves the scale shot because he's worried about sick to death about it. And Pikachu says, "Hey, I got it over here." And Oshawott's like running back, "Oh yay, my scale shot! We got it back. Thank you." And Oshawott,
oh sorry.
I was just laughing at Oshawott and his reactions.
Oshawott was just happy, but just I have a freeze frame right now of Pikachu's reaction just seeing Beartic.
Yes, I paused right there too. Like Oshawott's all happy, like, I got it back, and Pikachu's like, whoa.
Pikachu's been all timer with some of these reactions in these first few episodes.
Yes, Doug, do you wanna take it from there?
So that's when Ash and Brock and Misty catch up, and they're like, "Oh my God, it's a Beartic!" And you know they're like cowering, and Pikachu jumps right on a rock and is playing Peacemaker, and he's kind of like, "Yo, you know, we're not trying to disturb anything. We were just trying to get up the waterfall to see the jumping Magikarp, or the climbing Magikarp, or whatever," and We were trying to get through the waterfall, and you know, my buddy's Scalchop flew off, and I mean, here we are. And I think Beartic was to the point where he was going to be like, "All right," but then Ash like just comes barging up, and Beartic has the same look on his face that Oshawott had a few seconds ago, and Ash is like, you know, "Thanks for, you know, helping my Pokemon find his little charm. You know, he's kind of attached to that thing." And just in the process of Beartic, like, exhaling, he completely freezes Pikachu and Oshawott in place. And Ash is stuck as well because he was in the frost zone, and even with Misty and Brock both wearing jackets, they're like chilled to the bone. And we get a purposeful close up on Bear-Tick's eye, and you can see that it's just like gray, like with no like emotion at all. And we get a close up on Ash's eye, and he catches that, and then Bear-Tick turns to leave, but then that's when we find out that Ash is frozen. And as Bear-Tick disappears into the trees, we see that the tree trunks are starting to freeze over. And then that's when Ash calls out his
Talonflame.
Talonflame. And I believe he also it's just Talonflame. We don't get the other one just yet. And then Talonflame just kind of flies around the vicinity and melts everybody's ice, and they're able to move. And
why didn't Ash do this to the waterfall?
Well, you see, because they got to fill 25
minutes. I was going to say the same thing to you. Going, see, we got to get to the conflict episode. That's why.
You can't just unfreeze the water, because then, you know, then it's a 5 minute short instead of a 25 minute episode.
No, then be an episode about the Magikarp who are frozen in the ice. And while Magikarp being frozen in the ice and watching them climb the waterfall be nice and all, we can't get to that just yet. We gotta have conflict.
Yeah, you're right. Can't argue that, but damn, I as soon as I saw him do that, and to find out later that he has two fire Pokemon, I was like, Ash, you're slipping. You're slipping.
Hey, are you under better excuse? Blame Ashrot.
For real.
Ashrot says, you know what? Instead of letting Ash melt this waterfall, I'm going to fight it with the scale shop using Razor Shell. And then Ash says, okay, go for it, Ashrot. You're going to tie yourself out eventually. Then I could do it properly. Go for Ashrot. And then you saw it happen. So there we go. Blame Ashrot.
And from here, we have Ash throw up his Pokeball after he's freed from the ice. He remembers that look that Bear-Tick had on his face, and he's like, man, that Bear-Tick actually looked pretty sad. And then he throws up two Pokeballs, one of them being Incineroar and one of them being Snorlax, and he releases them from the Pokeball. And Ash is like, all right, he says Megaton Punch in this, but it's Mega Punch. And you
think you skip something though?
What's up?
I think you skipped something before then.
Oh, sorry. What part did I skip?
Talonflame comes along, and Pikachu and Ashrot gets on it to warm up. And then Ash tells them to go far after the Bear-Tick.
Oh, yes. I'm sorry. My bad. So Pikachu, Talonflame, and Ashrot did go and go off to find Bear-Tick. We have Snorlax and Incineroar using Mega Punch on all the frozen ice that that has engulfed into the forest as Bear-Tick was running away. And then it's at this point that Brock and Misty send out their Pokemon. So we have Fortress and we have Starmie come in, and they just start chopping down all this ice as well, and then they just start walking through the forest, and we just see Bear-Tick just running. He's like,
hold on for a minute.
What's up?
So there is an error here in this episode, at this moment.
Oh, there is?
By the way.
What happened?
So our buddy Fortress hasn't appeared since who knows how long at this point. I mean, forever. Brock has a regular Pokeball in his hand, and Fortress Pokeball is a fastball.
That's a good catch.
That's interesting, because they made sure that
Totodile.
Totodile was in his dive ball. What was the name of the dive ball? Like, they made sure that they got that detail right, so I'm kind of surprised that that slipped through.
But I'm guessing they just like, oh, the Pokeball, the fastball is red. Yeah, I mean, I guess I could understand because they both balls are red color, and I'm hoping that people would not notice it. But whole fortress, like, you bet. I mean, they had that Pokeball convert all into Diamond and Pearl when Brock is still on the gang, and then they forget they get the Pokeball wrong here.
Damn.
So I wonder if this is gonna be fixed in a future episode for the DVDs or whatever Fortress make an appearance, if it ever does make an appearance again.
I hope so. So it's at this point. That was a good catch, Mikey. Good catch. So hopefully someone hears this and they're like, we're going to keep it because we're not going to fix it. Or maybe they fix it before it comes over here to the U.S. because they have at least half a year to fix it. So
yeah, I mean, they do make corrections. They do fix things up, but I'm not sure that anime fix things up. I know other animes, they tend to fix things up between the TV release and the DVD release.
Yes.
So,
especially in Pokemon the first movie. So, don't even get me started with that.
Nice to see Incineroar, that's for sure. Using Darkest Lariat.
For real. And so it's at this point that we have Talonflame and Pikachu and Oshawott flying after Beartick. And Beartick notices that they're right behind it. He looks back and he's like, he looks scared, and he lets out a nice little sigh. And at this point, just freeze it. Well, we get the interpretation that he has frozen Talonflame with Pikachu and Oshawott, and then we were jumped right back over to Incineroar. Snorlax using Mega Punch. They come up to this is funny. They come up to Talonflame, Pikachu, and Oshawott, and not only are they frozen in the air, but there is a base that is frozen all the way up to Talonflame, Pikachu, and Oshawott, and they are frozen in a big ball of ice. Mikey, I'm gonna hand this part over to you.
All right, so this part makes me sad, but yes, you see Oshawott, Talonflame, and Pikachu frozen together. Pikachu and Oshawott had this face of pure shock in a little bar of ice. It's actually pretty funny to see them, like, they all treat him. Now that I look at it, yeah, Ian Talonflame's like, oh shoot, how did I get stuck like this? This is so embarrassing. I have fire type Pokemon frozen ice. And then we pan out to the ground where we see a Bellsprout. And my poor baby Oddish frozen in ice, along with a Seedot and like a Ursaring and a Teddiursa frozen as well. And even the Pokemon and trees are not safe because you see an Aipon and a Spearow frozen up in the trees.
They're just, I. Damn.
This should have been caught. Go on.
Oh no! I'm sorry. I was talking. I was talking too much. You can continue.
They should have called this Beartick Great Sigh because this sigh froze everything. And meanwhile, Ash is like, okay, fine. Incineroar, use Fire Blast. And man, Incineroar ready to use in Fire Blast is so cool because it gathers the heat on its little fire belt and makes a big old bar of fire, and then it rears back and punches that fire to make the Fire Kanji, the Fire Blast attack. And it warms up Talonflame and all the Pokemon around it. And like you just see everything evaporating, like becoming water, or the ice becoming water and just breaking free everybody from their icy prisons. And this poor Otter just runs away, like all frozen. So the Earth Stranger just grabs his baby Terry and says, let me going. We're staying away from this icy. We're staying away from Beartick. We're not going to get near him anymore. And all the Pokemon just run away because they don't want to get frozen.
You know, I got a different impression of that Ursaring. I felt like that Ursaring was like, let me go find this bear ticket, just give him a piece of my mind.
Yeah, bear to bear. Like, what the fuck?
Not cool, dude. Not cool. We bears. We got supposed to have this thing going on here.
Yeah, you and me. Come on. I mean, what are we doing here?
Yeah. And then Bart looks over to Misty and said, that bear thing is really strong. It can freeze so much around it. That and they came to the conclusion that the raw frog being frozen is also due to Baratic's icy sigh. And Ash goes down and gives Pikachu Talonflame and Ash a pep talk saying, hang in there. And like they just smile at Pikachu saying, they smile at Ash saying, yeah, we good. We just a bit cold. That's all.
All right, Doug, you want to take it on this next part of the scene?
So then Ash looks up and he goes, where did that bear tick get off to? And we look and we see the bear tick is kind of standing behind a tree going, eps, I broke out of all my ice. And he kind of stands in front of the tree and he lets out a sigh, and we see like icicles form in front of him. He's kind of like kind of in a bring it kind of way. And so Ash, Brock, and Misty return Snorlax, Fortress, and Starmie. And right as icicles are coming off the ground, or coming through the ground, I should say. And then Ash gets stuck on an icicle, and he has to bring over Talonflame and Incineroar to once again melt the ice. And Baratek's kind of looking around going, oh, so that's how it's going to be. And Pikachu, Oshawott, and Misty are warming themselves off of Incineroar's body heat. And Ash walks over to the bear tick and is like, ah, clearly this bear tick can't control its ice powers. And and Misty's like, what do you mean? It made the ice pillars before. And of him doing that 5 seconds ago. Jiminy Cricket. And
she's,
Brock's like,
she's showing her age.
And Brock's like, ha, but you see, Baratek didn't mean to do that. And he's like, that was just made by accident because it was scared or frightened by our presence. And Ash just looks over at Baratek and goes, you know, you're amazing. And Baratek's like, ah, oh, no shit. And and Ash like has to like kind of turn into Dexter, I guess, for the sake of padding out the episode. And he's like, you can freeze so much by just using one little breath. And then we have a flashback. Or not a flashback. Misty says, you'd even surprise, what's this Pokemon?
Kyurem.
Right. And and then we get Brock saying, you mean the legendary Pokemon? And this is a very scattershot scene. But once again, 25 minutes is a long time. And they're like, oh man, Baratek, your powers are really amazing. I love them. And you know, and he's like, don't you want to learn how to use them better? And Oshawott and Pikachu kind of walk up like, yeah, he trains us so well. And Ash is like, let's train together. I'm not doing anything. This is a filler episode.
Pretty much.
even though I shouldn't really have filler episodes because I only have 7 more of these left after this one.
And I have a question.
So,
what's up?
I have a question for you guys. Has Dexter appeared? Has the Pokédex has appeared in any of these episodes so far?
Mm-hmm. Yes, especially in the last one, because the last episode was starring, and I'm gonna butcher this Pokemon, so I'm gonna look it up. But it Hatterene. So
okay. So I don't think he has seen Hatterene, so makes sense.
Yeah, so Hatterene and all of its evolutions were in that episode. So we got a nice little Dexter entry for all three of those.
Okay, so I guess since we've seen Baratick before, or he should have seen Baratick, there's no need to put a Pokedex out for that.
Yes, he actually just saw Doug remembered we just recorded an episode not too long ago where Baratick was fighting Iris's.
Oh gosh,
Georgia. Her name's Georgia, I think.
Iris's Drober. There you go.
Yeah, there you go. I was like, it's the Pokemon that wasn't listening until that. Yeah, it was a Drober.
Was the Baratick owned by some chick with red hair?
Yes.
Georgia.
Georgia.
I think her name's Georgia.
Yes, it is. And so Georgia had Baratick, and they used Dexter in that episode, so he didn't need to use Dexter on this one.
Yeah, but that hasn't stopped him before.
Yeah, true. Question mark. Shrug shoulders. Okay, we tried. Oh no! I was like, if they were trying to kill time, they could definitely use Dexter to say Baratick, whatever the heck it is, Pokemon. Saying something, Baratick.
Yes, they could have, but they definitely didn't. But I think it's more along the lines of Baratick basically almost killed them, because Ash almost had an icicle go right through his body just about 2 minutes ago when Baratick let out that little sigh, and Ash was like, oh my gosh, I'm stuck between these ice cubes.
So to be honest, I don't think Kira has ever made an appearance in the anime proper. It appeared in the movie, but hasn't appeared in anime proper. So maybe but we haven't used Kira. Let's go ahead and use Kira, I guess.
Yeah, I was just thinking, because, that was the movie. That was me, because I watched that.
I'm sorry.
Oh, no, I was saying I watched that. I ended up watching that movie just out of the blue one day. I was like, let me just turn on a Pokemon movie. And I saw that movie. So
yeah. I'm still apologizing. That's not a good movie.
No, it was not. I actually think that. Because if I'm remembering that movie correctly, it was made in two separate versions, basically the same movie, but one had Kyurem and one had what's the other one?
Reshiram.
I think so.
You know, so you're thinking of the movie before that one? That was the Pokemon Black and White movie.
Okay,
with Reshiram and Zekrom. Which is also a bad movie.
Yeah, that was really bad.
Don't watch any of the black and white movies except for the Mewtwo movie with Genesect. That one's okay.
I did watch that one because Mewtwo got a mega version in that movie.
Yes. Watch any of those other movies because they are not good movies.
And it sucks because we're going to have to review them at some point because we're tied down to every episode, which means...
No. We're tied to every episode.
Not every movie. Doug's listening to this and going, nope, if Mikey says these movies are bad, they must be bad.
No, you see, because we've made care to say that the movies are special presentations.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes, they are.
So we are not... In fact, duty bound to cover movies. We cover movies at our own discretion.
Yes, we do. Right. So it's at this part in the Pokemon episode where we're gonna get Ash's battle training, whatever you want to call it, where he's gonna teach this Baratick how to control its Pokemon powers. And Pikachu steps right up to the plate. And Ash is like, pretty much all Pokemon can bring out their power using the same trick. And he's like, you picture it like, And then he puts his fingers up to his head, and then he's like, "You froosh it up inside your body." And then he gets down into a football stance, and he's like, "You take aim, and bam!" And Pikachu does a thunder shock right towards one of the icicles that was sitting right there. And Beartick's like, "Wow, how did this Beartick, before it became a Beartick, just now realize this? Like, you must have been a miserable, miserable baby Pokemon." I'm just Cupchu. Saying. Yeah, Cupchu. I couldn't think of the name. But you must have been a miserable Cupchu growing up.
What I found funnier was, like, Pikachu was mimicking Ash's movements the whole time. Like, he was going, first go, and then you go, kabam. Like, Pikachu's doing the same thing. So yes. Ash and Pikachu were both sharing the same brain stuff for, like, 5 seconds.
I think at this point, Pikachu has most of the brain cells and Ash is just there to catch them.
No, but this is a funny guy that pops up every so often and Ash just tries to explain something. And he always does this whole, like, and then wham, and then run, and then kablam type thing.
Yes.
I know it pops up in those sometimes. I know it pops up in Journeys.
Yes, it does. It does. Especially at the beginning of Journeys. So, but yeah, it's Oshawott's jumping around in the background like, "Yeah, you did it, Pikachu. Good job. Good job." And Beartick, Pikachu looks right over at Beartick and just snaps his fingers like, "Hey, pay attention. Pay attention. Watch me." And Ash is like, "Come on, try copying him like this." And he gets down into the football stance again. Beartick gets down, and Ash is like, "Oh no, Brock!" Brock is like, "That part of Ash hasn't changed at all." He's like, "He still loves Pokemon, and he does everything he can for them." Misty goes, and Ash is like, "Yeah, hopefully Beartick picks up on Ash's intentions." And they're just down there, and Ash is like, "All right, remember. Fill your body with power like, and then breathe it out." And as soon as he says this, Beartick is like, "All right, I got this. I got it." And he just starts to breathe. You can see the frozen air coming up around it. It brings up a little tiny crystal. And Ash's like, "You're doing it. You're doing it. Keep it up." And Beartick's like, "Yeah. Yeah, I'm doing it." And this crystal gets bigger and bigger. And Pikachu is like, "All right." And lets out a thundershock, hits another icicle. And Beartick's like, "All right, my turn." And Ash is like, "All right, Beartick, take it slow. Take it slow." And Beartick's like, "Nah, I got this. All right, here we..." Uh-oh. And the icicle freezes in midair. Breaks, and when it breaks, just freezes everything that was around it. And Mikey, I'm gonna hand this part over to you.
So once the smoke clears, you see Tataflame and Incineroar dying before Brock and Misty, acting as a producing a heat barrier, you could say. That way they don't get frozen over by the puff of ice. Meanwhile, you pan over to Beartick with a frozen Pikachu, Ashra, and Ash surrounded by the icicles, and Beartick's like, "Oh, I didn't have that. Oops. Sorry." And are we going to do the who's that Pokemon thing, or are we skipping that?
No, we can. The who's that Pokemon this week in the Japanese version is Beartick, because the Japanese do it right.
Yep.
Is it odd that it was just a random close up of the Beartick's mouth, or is it only because it was such a big, Pokemon they couldn't put it all?
Well, in the Japanese versions, they find a random spot. Well, at least in Journeys.
In Journeys they change it. Change it in Journeys to be a close up into a spot of the Pokemon, and here they chose Beartick's mouth.
Better than a close up of the crotch, I suppose.
Yeah.
I was wondering if somebody's going to bring it up.
It's very hairy. All right.
Use code Manscaped for... Oh, that's not...
long show, and you don't get paid for this.
they're not paying for it.
All right, Mikey, if you want to continue after.
I'd love to. So, Insane Warrior says, okay, gotta do this again. Creates a fireball from his belt, and then punches it again to create a fire blast to melt the whole scene around him. And you see Ash and getting all nice and toasty, thanking Insane Warrior for doing it. I love Insane Warrior. Pichu's shaking off the water, and Ash is like, oh, yep, I'm not frozen anymore. And Barrett gets sighs again and makes a bunch of ice core spears come out of the ground. And Ash and Pikachu just running up. Ash and Pikachu just jumping in the air, trying to avoid not getting stabbed again.
You think they would learn at this point, just stand back until Barrett gets control of its powers.
Yeah, meanwhile, I love Missy and Brock. They're just watching this from. They're not doing anything to help. They're just watching from back while Brock has Talonflame on his back. Using flame body to keep them warm, and Missy just having her hands up like Talonflame to hear.
Brock's sitting there. He's had freaking Talonflame on its back for so long, it's starting to sweat.
Yep.
Yeah.
This reminds me of a classic Kanto era episode where Ash does all the work and Missy and Brock just hear complaints or comments from the side. So. They just there watching and say, oh, yep, Missy's saying, we can see by the mountain Pokemon run away from Beartic now. And Ash is trying to say, like, don't worry, Beartic, things will be fine. You get control of it eventually. Don't get it down. Don't get down so much.
Yeah.
And Ashrod's like, oh, go on.
Oh, no. I was just saying, yeah, I was agreeing.
And Ashrod's trying to say, hey, chin up. Like, how about you try to make it into something like my scale shop? You can make an ice scale shop for yourself. And Ash going, yeah, go ahead. Ash was trying to do that'd be a great idea. And Brock agrees, saying creating an ice scale shop would be good practice for Beartic to control his powers.
All right, and Doug, you want to take it from here?
So yeah. Oshawott, presents, or he places his scale chop back on his body, and we see Beartic getting ready to get to work, and Oshawott's like, you've got this, and Beartic's like, focus, and he starts to produce the little icicle, and Ash is like, that's a good start. Now look closely at Oshawott and concentrate. And Oshawott's sitting there like, And he's like, this is serious. And Beartic is focused. You can see he's focusing through the snow, and he's focusing on the lines in the scale chop. And he's got the icicle, and he's starting to kind of form it. And Incineroar's looking over like, this is some shit. And he's working on it, and he's kind of moving his hands and not really touching anything, so I'm not really sure how stuff's getting moved, but that's not for me to question. And Oshawott's like, And he's looking, he's not blinking, and he's starting to get it, and he's almost got it, and it's looking good, and Pikachu and Ash and Oshawott are like, ah, and then it starts to kind of go wonky, and Pikachu and Ash and Oshawott go, ah, and Beartic gets what I'm going to team the Pikachu eyes, because Pikachu has done this exact look in each of the episodes so far, but I don't know if he's done it in this one. I think Oshawott and Beartic are the only ones that have done the shocked eyes and the
he did. Remember when Talonflame was frozen with Pikachu and Oshawott?
you're right. So the crystal that Beartic is working, it explodes again, and we see just a puff of ice and crystals and smoke, and we see ice shards starting to come up from the ground, and we're lost in the fog, and then from out of the fog you see the shadowy flames of Incineroar and Talonflame, and You know, Incineroar has Ash and Oshawott and Pikachu, so they don't get frozen again, because that can't be good for the body or the mind or anything. And they're like, that was a shock. And, you know, thanks for the help, Incineroar. And Baratick's just sitting there. He's got this look on his face like, son of a bitch. And, you know, and Ash is trying to, you know, stay positive. He's like, you had the parts at the start down. It was looking good. And Baratick's like, yeah. And
Ash is so optimistic.
He's like, you're amazing. You know that? Like fucking Billy Robinson over here. Or Billy Blanks.
I need Ash in my corner every time I'm trying something new.
And then from out of the forest, we see, we see Oddish and Bellsprout and Teddy Ursa and
Ursaring. And,
you know, basically all the Pokemon that were frozen at the start. And we see from their perspective that Baratick is still working on it. And he's like, you've got it. It's looking like a scale chop. You got it. And it's looking good, and it's kind of shaking, and it's not really moving. And Baratick's like focused in, and he brings his hands closer. And Ash is like, that's it. Good shit. You did it. And he's like, you did it. You're amazing. And you can kind of see it looks like Baratick might be getting a little bit emotional. And he sits down, and he's staring at the scale chop, and we see the scale chop starting to shake again. And Ash and Pikachu and Oshawott are like, son of a, we just got. And it explodes again. And we just get this big blast. And Talonflame has to get in front of Misty and Brock to shield them, but it's no use because he gets caught and he's frozen in a block of ice, just looking dead ahead. And we see that it got Incineroar, and Baratick's just sitting there like, fuck it, it's been a day. And he just turns and he gets on all fours and just starts pounding away, and he goes into the middle of the lake, and he just, ah! And just up in the air, and you can see the ice is kind of starting to slowly come down like snowfall. And Ash and Oshawott and Pikachu kind of walk up to him and hug him. And they're like, it's going to be okay, buddy. You've got this. Believe in yourself. And Incineroar is like, I've had it. And he says, ah. And
Ash has way too much time on his hand.
I'm saying, you know, it's like the guy wins a championship and he just fucking gives up. Well, not gives up, but he's just like walking around like he's fucking 65 all of a sudden.
He's retired. Let the boy. Let the boy rest. He's been doing this for 25 years.
For real.
And, you know, and we see the lake is starting to like kind of collapse in on itself. And Pikachu and Oshawott are kind of worried. And then the ice starts to break away. And Pikachu and Oshawott are like, son of a bitch, his shit's going down. And then the ice that Baratick is standing on just gives way. And then at I'm stopped at 1422. We get a nice shot of three of them doing the wide eyes, and we don't really get a shot of Baratick.
Baratick.
And then he just kind of looks up and he's like, what have I done? And we see this big old crater in the ice. And we go down, and the first Pokemon to pop up is Pikachu using a Thundershock. And Oshawott uses its scallop as a blade, or scale chop as a blade. And they're looking around for Ash and Baratick, and come to find out that they were essentially standing on Baratick. who has Ash in his arms. Otherwise, he presumably would have been, you know, dead, which is nothing new to Ash. He's died, what, like 5-6 times?
But like I did like this, though, because they did paint the image of Ash actually hurting himself from that fall. So Ash is not invincible, everybody.
No, he can die, but if he lands wrong on his ankle, he's fucked.
He can bleed. He can bleed.
Yes. He is human, everybody. He is not invincible. So
Ash kind of looks up at Beartech, and he's like, "You saved me." And Beartech's like, "I might be wild, but I'm not a monster." And he puts Ash down, and immediately Ash gets like lightning bolts of pain and just goes down. And he's like, "I have twisted it," referring to his ankle. You know, so nonchalant, never mind the fact that he fell, you know,
maybe 100 feet.
100 feet down. He's, "Oh, I've twisted my ankle. Shucks and darn."
I mean, he fell before. It's fine.
And Beartech kind of looks up and goes, "We are kind of a way down here, aren't we?"
Ash looks over at Beartech and just starts. He's like, "But this will be fine." He's like, "With your big bear claws, you can get us out of here in no time." And he's like, "Beartech, I can't move. So take these guys with you." And he points at Pikachu and Oshawott, and they're like, "Wait, what about you, Ash?" And he's like, "When you get out of here, let Misty and Brock know." And he's just smiling, and they're like, "Okay." And Beartech's like, "Well, you could have hopped on my back, but I guess." So he's like, "All right, Pikachu. All right, Oshawott, jump on my back." And Beartech is like, "All right, we're gonna go." And Beartech looks back over at Ash, and he's like, "Ah." And Ash is like, "Oh, you want me to get on? Well, duh." And Beartech's like, "Well, yeah." And he's like, "All right, got it." And he gets up, and it doesn't really look like he twisted his ankle, because if he twisted his ankle that bad, he wouldn't have been able to put that much pressure on it. But we jump straight forward to Ash is on the back of Beartech, and Beartech is climbing up this wall. He's like, "All right, Beartech, you got this." And Beartech is just going up and up and up. And then we get a view of Incineroar and Talonflame, and they are heating up their blocks of ice that they are under, and they're completely melting it. And then they shake off the water. They look around. They're like, "Oh no." And then they see Brock and Misty are looking down where Ash and them have fallen. And I'm going to send this on over to you, Mikey. Mikey, take it from here.
So we get to visit Taffing and Sinwar also joins. And then watching down what's going on down the fissure. And they see this. We go down and see Beartech coming up the cliff, and Ash is trying to give it a bit of pep talk, saying, "Hey, you can do it. Go ahead and keep climbing up there." And Beartech keeps climbing, but eventually the piece of ice that he grabs breaks off. And in a moment of quick thinking, Beartech makes a ice shard. I suppose a giant ice shard, and shoots it into the wall on the other side, and jumps on it and uses it as a step.
And he did it!
Yeah. Actually, you did it! That's what you wanted, right? That's exactly what you want. And Bear's thinking about it, "Yeah, I did it, all right." And Ash is trying, reconfirming to the audience, saying, "Yeah, you finally control your powers. You found a solution that could work and get us out of here." And he encouraged Beartech to go ahead and keep using his ice powers to create these steps of ice to climb the way out of the crater. And Ashura and Pikachu is like giving encouragement, and Beartech thinks about 4 minutes and go, "Okay, yeah, I can give it a try." So with Ash's help, he aiming Beartech to fire off another one of those giant ice shards to go to the other side. And Beartech's charging up. This ice crystal spins around until it gets big enough and bigger and bigger. And then he shoots it out to the other side of the wall, and he creates that other ice step for him to get on. And from there, Ash tells Barrett to jump to that step, and they're going to repeat the process over and over again, with Ash pointing to the spot where Barrett, where he wants to shoot, and Barrett takes finals orders until they get to the very top. I'm usually going to get a montage of Baratek just doing this over and over again, and Ash keeps on encouraging Baratek. And we also get Peachum and Ashra just like going, yeah, you can do this. And Baratek going, yeah, I can do this.
All right, Doug, take it away, brother.
So from the perspective of Ash, or of Ash, of Brock and Misty and Incineroar and Talonflame, all of a sudden we're seeing these giant ice chunks starting to come up and stick in the walls, and then we see Baratek moving nimbly from kind of point to point, and they're like, he's coming up, and he's like, you're all okay, and Baratek takes one final leap from the top platform back onto solid ground, and he says to Baratek, he says, you're really cool, but and he kind of gives him an attaboy, and he Pikachu and Oshawa get off, and Ash gets off, and then that's when we remember, all right, Ash has fucked his ankle, and he goes, ah, and Brock's like, Ash, you're limping.
No.
No shit. And Ash once again is like, I have twisted it. And Brock's like, ah, let me see. I'm used to working on Pokemon, but I reckon I can make this work. And all of a sudden Pikachu kind of gets a flash of something and takes off. And that's when we see the Pokemon from the forest are kind of looking from behind trees like, I don't know about this shit. And Pikachu's like, you guys won't believe the shit that we just went through. And, you know, Baratek, and he's doing the hand motion, and he's like, but Baratek was able to harness his power, and he got us out of here. And they pan over to Baratek, and Baratek's kind of like, oh, shucks. And Ocelot is presenting his scale chop. And he's like, you want to try the thing again? And he kind of looks over at Ash, and Ash is like, go for it. And the other Pokemon are kind of watching on, like, let's see how this goes, because we've seen how it's gone before, and it doesn't end well. And Ashwat's kind of looking like, you got this. And Baratek's like, well, I reckon, you know, there's only a couple minutes left in the episode. If I don't do it now, I'm not going to do it. And he starts to work up a crystal, and he's working, and, you know, we know he can do this part. He's gotten to this part, you know, twice, and, you know, he's starting to mold it, and we get a close-up on Ashwat, and we see he's working, and we see he's focused, and he's not blinking, and he's really focused, and then all of a sudden it just, like, comes, like, perfectly into focus, and everybody's like, holy shit, he did it. And Baratek's like, y'all, I just did that. And Ashwat puts his scowl chop bag on, and he's like, yeah. And Baratek's like, ah. And he puts his on, and Ashwat's doing like he's doing the dance around. And he's like, and Ash is over there like, did y'all just see that shit? Y'all just see that? And he has become the Ice Master. And, you know, Ashwat's doing, like, the hype-up dance. And Pikachu's looking around at the Pokemon in the forest, like, are y'all gonna move? Or, I mean, what are we doing here? I mean, that was some pretty crazy shit. And Misty pops in. He's like...
They still look worried.
Yeah, they still look worried. And... Brock pops in for some reason, but he doesn't say anything. And, you know,
I think they animated Brock to say something, and they just completely cut it out of the episode, because that was
they just blanked. And then all of a sudden we see Bellsprout come running, and he's kind of like teary-eyed, and we see that he's like fascinated with the scale chop that Baratek created. So Beartech does one for Bellsprout, and Bellsprout's like, I got one. And he puts it on, and Bellsprout looks at his friends and is like, it's okay, guys. And that's when all the Pokemon are like, free item. And, you know, we see an aerial shot of Beartech creating the ice scallops or scalchops with all the Pokemon around him. Like, even Apom is like on his shoulder. And as we're panning up, that's when we see
Latias.
Yeah, I don't know why. I always want to say Lugia, but I'm like, that's not it. No. Yeah, that's when we see Latias. So if you're playing bingo, you can check that box off. And that's when we do finally see the Magikarp jumping up the waterfall, because well, I guess you can infer that Timber allowed it to be unfrozen.
You know, or Ash had Incineroar and Talonflame trying to do their thing.
Yeah, I think that's what it was. But this kind of makes me wonder, because the base of this waterfall is still frozen, and there's Magikarp climbing. So there must have been Magikarp just completely frozen in this big sheet of ice for just a few days. Like, that must have been horrible.
They're fine.
they're fine. They're, you know, fish are meant to be frozen.
They survived bomb.
They did.
They survived bomb explosion.
Yes.
So they're fine. They're fine.
So, all right. And then it's at the end of that we get the narrator bringing us out of the episode. And... Yep. We get the ending credits, and then we get the preview for next week, which I'm not going to go through that scene by scene, but we are bringing back Ash's Squirtle. Ash's Squirtle is coming back into the following episode, and it looks like Bulbasaur and Charizard are going to be in that episode as well. So I'm excited to see that one.
As well as the Squirtle Squad.
Yes. The Squirtle Squad.
It's really funny, because Bulbasaur and Charizard never met them properly.
The Squirtle Squad?
Yeah, they never met the Squirtle Squad properly.
Oh, no, I don't think so. I don't think... Because Charizard wasn't a Charizard.
Well, no, he was Charmander, but he didn't have Charmander when Ash met Squirtle and the Squirtle Squad. Or the... Squirtle Squad.
He did, but they weren't in that episode.
Oh.
Yeah, he didn't because he didn't get that Squirtle until like the very end of the episode, because that's when Ash was like, I caught a Squirtle, and Misty was like, "You? What do you mean you caught? He jumped into your arms. What do you mean you caught?"
Yeah, but in the episode with Charmander, Bulbasaur was first. And then when Charmander was there, they didn't show Bulbasaur. And then when Squirtle was there, they didn't show Bulbasaur or Charmander.
Yeah, Ash didn't really create a very welcoming environment. He was like, y'all just figured out later when we're all freezing to death in that cave.
Or, you know, stuck on an island of mechanical giant Pokemon.
That low key is like a sleeper episode. Like that
I love that episode.
Snowy Owl or the island of giant Pokemon?
Giant Pokemon.
Yeah. That is a great episode. That is a really great episode. One of my favorites from the original generation. But yeah, I don't think they ever met the Squirtle Squad, so this would be their first time. This is one of those, like, meet my best friends, meet my other best friends moments.
And we do get a preview of that Team Rocket is coming back in that episode as well. So Team Rocket's in there.
It's Squirtle Squad sunglasses, too.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it looks like the Squirtle Squad are in, like, Power Ranger outfits. That's the episode that we should have had Carl on.
Oh, yeah.
You told me about I was going to be on. Oh, I'm going to be on the episode of the Squirtle Squad thing? Wait, no, that's next week. Never mind.
Yeah. You're more than welcome to come back, though. But, but yeah, that will be next week's episode, everybody. Mm-hmm. So now here's the question that I'm going to ask you. Mikey, I'm going to start with you. How did you feel about this episode? And what was it that you were going to say towards the beginning of the episode that you wanted to save towards the end once we were done?
You want to do that first? I want to do my thoughts of the episode.
Let's do both. Let's do your thoughts of the episode and then what you wanted to save.
So this felt really Canto-y in its tone. Not there was no crazy like jokes of the era type feel, but it was like, it felt really Canto-y. It's just Ash missing Brock doing some random filler episode. Granted, they weren't lost. And I kind of think they made a joke about not being able to be lost. Great for them. They finally improved on not getting lost in an episode. But it felt really Canto-y as in like, is the Vision Trio back together again? There's no way else to work with. It was a filler episode from Kanto with Brock, Missy, and Ash together being friends. While Ash is doing stuff, Brock and Missy may or may not do anything, which they did not do much to help at all to begin with. But hey, guys, you were there.
I mean, and Brock did have a Steelix that he could have sent down there to get Ash, so Ash isn't putting weight on his damn leg.
I mean, at least they weren't arguing, Ash. I mean, if this was a real, true Kanto episode, then they'd be like arguing and fighting with each other. They are the best, they are the worst best friends you can have. I always say that Missy and Brock, I describe Missy and Brock being the worst best friends you could ever have. They would be with you. They won't help, though.
Facts. So what would you give this episode out of 5 stars?
A solid 3, for sure.
A solid 3? Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. And what was it that you wanted to say that you wanted to save towards the end?
So I haven't been watching these episodes, but I've been kind of zoning from the background. I've been zoning from afar. Outside of first, I mean, and you know what? And this is 2 points don't make a pattern. But if I recall, episode 1, it was just Ash by himself, correct?
Yes.
But episode 2 had Misty, and episode 3 had Cyan and Brock show up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So this is the first episode. I mean, I guess it wasn't really a trend since there have been 2 episodes, but this is the first episode where a past friend hasn't shown up at all.
Yep, you're
and the next episode has Squirrel, who's has been kind of a, he's not at the ranch, he's doing his own thing at this point.
Yeah,
so the old friend be Squirrel showing up next episode.
Wasn't Squirtle supposed to be with Officer Jenny working for the fire squad or for the fire department?
Yes, mm-hmm. Exactly. So I'm wondering how the Squirrel Squad got conned to working with Team Rocket.
Yes. So I guess we'll find out in just a few days because that episode comes out. We're recording this on a Tuesday. It comes out this Friday. So I guess we will find out. Mm-hmm. So, Doug, what did you think about this episode? What would you rate it on a scale from 1 to 5, knowing what you've seen so far?
This is an easy 2.
Okay.
No Team Rocket.
That's true. Team Rocket didn't show up in this episode here.
No real conflict because it was established pretty early on that it wasn't like the Bear Tick wasn't a heel. It was just kind of misunderstood. And yeah, you had that little, you had that moment of peril when they fell down the fissure. But I mean, you knew that. The heroic moment usually comes in a moment of peril, rather. So you kind of knew that Bear Tick was going to, you know, kind of figure out his whole, you know, making of the ice blocks so he could, you know, help them out. And, you know, it's just, I mean, normally, I'm a fan of, like, singularly focused episodes, but, you know, kind of like you said, Chris, at the
You're not too much of a fan of this one.
Not really. And it's kind of like you said at the beginning, Chris, you're like, why of all Pokemon that Ash could have a re-encounter with, why a Beartick? Like, I mean, I understood he caught the Snorlax, so he couldn't really have a encounter with a Snorlax because he caught the fella. But, you know, I mean, it, not even like a hint of Team Rocket, like not even like a throwaway line of, ah, shit, it's too cold to go in that forest. We'll catch the twerp next week.
Yeah.
You know, or something. So, yeah, I don't know. I mean, it was a cool, like, Ash bonds with Pokemon moment, but it didn't even have like a satisfying conclusion. It was just like, oh, Beartick is going to be a friend to the forest and he's going to be helpful and he can make his sculptures on a whim and he can, you know, send in scale chops after everybody. It's not like Ash caught him at the end.
Oh, mm-hmm. Don't worry. Giovanni went and caught him right after that. Ash left.
No, you can't do that. You can't do that anymore. They closed all the circuses.
No, they're coming back. The Ringling Brothers are making a return this summer.
Yeah, I know.
But I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, it did felt really fillery. That's why it's compared to a Kanto filler episode. And nothing really happened. It feels kind of weird because I thought these episodes were supposed to be like a goodbye to Ash. So we won't get kind of like lots of little tributes and lots of callbacks to previous generations. Like, oh, it's Misty and there's Brock and there's Cyan. Isn't it nice that they got one last time? And then this episode, like, he brought back the Kanto filler episode feel again.
I mean, we haven't gotten Max yet. I would love to see Max.
Mm-hmm.
Or what's Dawn, right?
Yeah, Meg, Dawn. Let's see.
To be honest, I could use that as a Dawn. Dawn had enough appearances in Journeys.
Who else? Gary.
Iris.
Iris.
We've seen Iris. Never mind. I take it back. I take back Iris.
We just saw Iris in Journeys, and then
Gary's also in Journeys too.
Yeah, let's see. I'm trying to think.
I think Clamott appeared as well in an episode. I think yes, Clamott did appear in an episode in Journeys. So yeah, we haven't had a proper May appearance. Now that I think about it.
No,
that's it.
Yeah,
May's the only one. May and Max are the only ones who have been forgotten.
they kind of washed them away, but let's see. I'm gonna give this a solid 2 as well. My only reason for giving it a 2 is because the other 3 episodes were so much better than what we got in this, and I was kind of let down a little bit. I mean, it was a little entertaining, but I was kind of let down seeing how good the other episodes were that they would decide to put a filler episode on one of the last 11 episodes. Like, each episode of the last 11 episodes should actually mean something. But now you can skip this episode and jump into next week's episode and not really miss anything. And that irritates me a little bit. So
the only thing this episode gives you is Incineroar, and Incineroar is one of Ash's popular Pokemon from the, granted, all of his Pokemon, most of his Pokemon from Alola are popular, but Incineroar was a popular Pokemon from the Sun Moon era. If you don't mind me giving a spoiler about Incineroar.
Oh no, go ahead.
You don't get much time in Incineroar. It evolves in the, final battle at the Pokemon League.
Oh, gotcha.
So it's like, It's been a Tauros cat for the whole time, and it involves there, so you don't get any fun antics with Incineroar being Incineroar. It's like, it battled, it evolved, and bye. I gotta go now.
He sends it off to the professor and says, all right, train him.
Yeah, right, pretty much.
Right.
So this episode is, if you want some antics with Incineroar, this is your episode for that, because you saw Incineroar do things in this episode.
Okay.
But I mean, yeah, you can skip this episode if you don't care about Incineroar. I mean, that's not the reason why I gave it a 3. It was nice to see Incineroar, and it's nice to see Incineroar do awkward things with his belt, with his fire coming out. Because unless you pay attention to the fire, but that fire was coming out from his crotch.
Yeah, his crotch.
So, I mean, supposed to be put in a belt, but the belt's not too high from there. An awkward design, really cool idea, but not great in execution.
Not really.
Yeah. I mean, it's... You guys are right. I mean, is it weaker to episodes? I mean, I haven't seen them, but... It is a filler episode. It kind of felt like it wasted one of these episodes, as in there's no tiebacks, there's no callbacks. It's just
there.
There. I mean, that's why I said I compare it to a classic Cantor episode. It's just Ash was being Brock doing something dumb.
Yeah.
In good terms. Like, if you want to go for like the sentimental, oh, the three guys are back together again, no Cyan, no Iris, no anybody, just those three being friends.
Well, I feel like we're going to get that next week, but there's actually going to be a point to the damn episode.
Yeah, right. Team Rock is there. Team Rock is there with the score squad. And you're going to get some, I like to call them the three dumb amigos, as in the original Charizard, Score, and Bulbasaur. The three dumb amigos. In my opinion,
they missed an opportunity of having Bulbasaur stay the same, having Squirtle go into a War Turtle but not a Blastoise, and then Ash having a Charizard.
Yeah, but you wouldn't want him to evolve off screen. He's one of the classic originals. He would never do that. They would never do that to him.
Yeah,
they want to make the evolution to a big, powerful moment.
We might get it at the end of next week's episode. Maybe. Well, I doubt it.
I doubt it. I mean, this is supposed to be Disaster Raw, so they don't want to change him at the last moment.
Now, I'm going to ask you, and I should have asked our other guests, but I guess I could start it here. Does Pikachu evolve on the 11th episode?
No.
You don't think so?
No. Okay, I ate my words on this. I really did. Because he asked me a year ago, are we going to see the end of Pikachu and Ash? My answer had been no. Because you don't get rid of Mickey Mouse.
Yeah, you're true.
You don't see Disney. I steal this from Steve from Studio Effective, by the way. So you watch that, listen to that show, then you know exactly what I'm saying. But you don't get rid of Mickey Mouse. Disney ain't going to say, hey, we're going to retire Mickey Mouse and never use it again. Ash and Pikachu is Mickey Mouse to Pokemon.
Yeah.
Heck. Pikachu's the damn logo of the Pokemon.
It is.
I think I got an email right now from Pokemon, and the little icon is Pikachu's face.
Okay. Now,
granted, they are retiring Ash and Pikachu, so I ate my words. And maybe I eat my words at the end of an episode when Pikachu evolves and invites you, because you know what? Maybe this send-off is just like, our boys are finally evolving, and they're going to depict that as Pikachu evolving and saying, yeah, I'm finally ready to be a Raichu. Maybe, but still at the same time, it's like, okay, all right, let's do this then. But until that happens, I'm going to stick to my guns and say, you know what, Pikachu's not going to evolve.
All right. Doug, and you gave your answer too, because Doug jumped in. He's like, no. No,
but no, it wouldn't make any sense because, like, you know, like this is supposed to be like
their
final, yeah, their victory lap. I mean, it wouldn't make any sense. I mean, if you didn't evolve him when you had a justified reason in that battle with Lieutenant Surge, you're not just gonna evolve him just to check something off a list.
Well, they did tease it. This past season in Journeys, they had an episode where there was another wild Pikachu and there was a Thunderstone, and the other Pikachu was chasing Ash's Pikachu with it, and then all of a sudden you just hear and Ash is like, no. But obviously it was the other Pikachu that ended up evolving. But man, they definitely teased it, and they got me there. They got me. I was like, they didn't just do that.
Yeah, that was a scary moment. I remember that episode.
Yes. So, all right, everybody. But thank you again, Mikey, for coming on to today's episode. The floor is yours real quick if you want to go ahead and plug where you are and where people can find you.
You can find my beautiful writings at Pokemon Crossroads at pokemoncrossroads.com. Don't know when it's going to come out in the public feed, but hey, we got a nice little video on how to get into competitive VGC if you're interested in that. You can find me on Twitter at Pokemon Crossroads PKMN Crossroads. I'd be tweeting cute Pokemon things right now. And if you want Mikey personal, you can find me at Mikey Zard. It's M-I-K-E-Y, then Zard as in Charizard. And I may put some pictures for my regional trip for next weekend.
All right. Well,
or my next one in March. I mean, this episode comes out on public feed, I guess.
Yes. So, yes, it'll be 4 weeks from this Friday is when this episode will be dropping onto the free feed.
So. All right. So you'd be coming close to my March trip then.
Yes. So, but thank you again for coming on, Mikey. It's always a pleasure having you on the show.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Glad to be here, guys.
All right. And that being said, go ahead and say goodbye to our audience for this week, Mikey.
Goodbye, audience.
All right. And Doug, go ahead and, well, first off, do you have anything else to say right before we sign off, Doug?
No, I don't think so. I think it's all been said.
All right. Then go ahead and say goodbye to our audience, Doug.
Goodbye, Doug.
And this is Professor Chris G telling all of you we will see you next week for episode 5 of this 11-episode series. Have a good night, everybody.